The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Youth Week here at AFR, we work with Revival Fires International to get the Word of God into the hands of students all across our nation. This is Bert and Alex, and it's a joy to be with you today, but we have someone else with us today, Alex, someone that we've had each and every year. He's usually here, in the studio here in Tupelo, but we're having to connect by phone this year. You know, something happened along the way here in 2020, and it's caused travel to be a little less, custom. And I so know. Tim Todd is with us by phone. Tim, welcome to Exploring the Word. Okay.
Hello, Brother Tim.
Yeah.
Hey, Bert, while we get him on, can I share?
Yeah, go ahead while we're making sure of the connection. Go ahead, Alex.
Psalm 119, verse 9 says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By taking heed thereto according to God's word." In other words, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to God's word. Psalm 119, verse 9. That's part of the reason that we believe in the Truth for Youth Bibles and spreading God's word to young people to help them get their life on the right path, don't we?
We do believe that, and we believe the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's the only thing in the world that separates soul and spirit. All the rest of it's kind of combined together, but the word of God is able to do that. Tim Todd, welcome, brother.
So good to be here, and you know, this is the 20th year Bert, and this is the 20th year of the Truth for Youth Bible Project, and of course, this is 2020, and in the Bible, the number 20 could be prophetically symbolic of redemption, and we are seeing the redemption of souls of young people all across America as a result of our partnership with American Family Radio.
Amen. Alex, you know, 20 years working together, we've seen so many and heard about so many souls coming to Christ in the thousands, isn't it, Tim?
Yes, more than 25,000 young people that have given their heart to the Lord as a direct result of getting a copy of the Truth for Youth Bible. And we have people standing by the phone right now, ready to take calls of people ordering Bibles to give to their children or grandchildren that are teenagers, if they will commit to give it away to their friends in school.
And that, let me give that number, Alex, real quickly, and then you ask it, that number, and you can call right now or go online at truthforyouth.com. That's truthforyouth.com and order online. But right now, before 4:30 this afternoon Central Time, call 800-733-4737. Let me repeat that. You've got time to put it into your phone so you can do it quick dial after this is through. 800-733-4737.
Hey, Tim, Alex McFarland here. Hey, I'm a big fan. I appreciate all that you do so much, brother. Let me ask you this. Well, God bless you, Tim. Well, as kind of crazy as the world has gotten, my goodness, with COVID and the riots and all that's going on, do you think this has made young people all the more hungry to find some solid rock to live on, the Word of God? Has the state of our country made young people all the more receptive?
Yes, Alex. In fact, I believe that this is the most important Truth for Youth Bible Week that we have ever conducted because, as you just well said, all summer long, the liberal leaders of our nation have set an ungodly example for our young people by showing them that rebellion against authority, anarchy, lawlessness, vandalizing, rioting, defacing, and destroying property is not only acceptable, but encouraged without consequence by many. And then, of course, the racial unrest in our nation has been fueled by liberal politicians, liberal media, the liberal organizations. In addition, many of our young people and their families are living in fear as a result of the devastating effects of the chaos from coronavirus. And this divisive atmosphere in our nation has been cultivated by the godless for the potential, I believe, of the very same mayhem that is happening in the streets of our nation to take place among young people in the public schools of America. We've seen violence in our schools up to this point for many, many years, but I believe that the stage has been set for mayhem in our public schools by the godless organizations and liberal media. So I believe that with the example that's been set before our young people, more than ever before, we need to shine the light of the gospel, the Truth for Youth Bible, into our public schools by Christian young people. Now, I believe it's more important now than ever before. And we know Christ is the only hope in the midst of all Amen. The chaos in America and in the division. I believe that a revival is getting ready, is in the process of taking place in America, and it's going to take place through the young people of our nation. And I believe the distribution of the Truth for Youth Bible is going to be a vitally important part of this revival as we reach a generation of young people with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well, here's the good news. Not only can you call and get this Bible, but like a youth group, if they desire to do so, or a group that wants to minister, you can order large quantities of the Bible for just $2 each. Now, Tim, would they call that same number to do that as well?
Yes, they would, Bert and Alex. In fact, if they call 1-800-733-4737, 800-733-4737, they can get free of charge one Bible per teenager, per household. But like you just said, in addition, for their youth group or for a Bible club or for an organization, they get a case of these Bibles or more for my cost, which I pay to print these Bibles, only $2 each. And of course, it consists of the entire New Testament in the God's Word translation, along with comic stories, graphic novels in the front section that deal with the truth about things like school violence and drugs and drunkenness and peer pressure and pornography. We deal with the truth in these comic stories about things like sexual purity. We deal with homosexuality, what the Bible says. We deal with abortion, things like witchcraft. The Bible says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But if they call, I'll let them have them at my cost. If they want to get two or more copies for only $3 each, if they get 50 or more, they get them for my cost of only $2 each, and help us get the Word of God into the hands of young people all across this great nation.
Well, Tim, I just applaud what you're doing, and I pray to the good Lord that we'll just get tens of thousands of copies of the Bible out there. Because do this, Tim. I know you've been in and around public schools for many decades. For those that may not realize, I mean, just help people understand how secular, how militantly secular and anti-God education in some quarters has been. I mean, we are where we are because kids have been taught the wrong things for many years. Bring us up to speed on just how education has really groomed generations of secularists.
Yes, Alex and Bert, you know, I'm so thankful that this program, Exploring the Word, is honed in on the Word of God. And of course, in Jeremiah, the Bible tells us, stand at the crossroads, ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find peace for your soul. And I believe that in June of 1962 and June of 1963, America left the old paths when we kicked God out of our schools with two court cases, Abington versus Shemp and Engle versus Vitale, where we removed the Bible and prayer from our public schools. And of course, when we removed God from our schools, 87% of America, 97% of America believed in God, only 3% didn't. And yet we allowed the liberal, aggressive liberal people in our nation to remove God from our schools. And as a result of it, the devil has moved in. And I believe the only way we're going to get the devil out of our schools is to get God back in our school. Now, certainly our young people need God in their homes, but we've got 40 million students in our public schools that don't have any Bible at all. So, you know, they're in homes that do not believe in God. And this may be the only opportunity that they have. to get a copy of the Word of God in school when a Christian young person gives that Bible to them. But in our schools, they're teaching that it's okay to have sex outside of marriage as long as you use a contraceptive. It's being taught that homosexuality is an acceptable alternative lifestyle. Harry Potter series is taught in many of our schools, used as scholastic as a tool for teaching, and things like this, promoting sexual perversion, promoting witchcraft, and promoting things that are in opposition to the Word of God. And so what we've got to do, we have opened the door wide in 1962 and 1963, and the floodgates of our schools were open for the devil to come in. And right now what we're doing by putting the Word of God into the hands of these young people that take them to their friends in school that are not saved, we're invading that darkness. Amen. With the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're seeing light shine as young people all across our nation are giving their heart to the Lord and getting saved.
You know, and Tim, let me ask you this. In the Bible, also, you've got the plan of salvation and an explanation on how to begin a relationship with Jesus, don't you?
Yes, in fact, we've got the plan of salvation incorporated into each one of these comic stories. And then when they finish the 100 pages of comics, we give them a full explanation of how they give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then once they give their heart to the Lord, they can fill out a decision card and send it to us. And then we help to get them plugged into a local church or whatever city that they live in. And of course, in the Bible, it tells them about the importance of the things that they need to do to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a strong witness, to win people to the Lord, and read their Bible and pray, and to be water baptized. And we try to cover everything that we can that's important for them to know what they need to do after they give their heart to the Lord, in addition to them finding out how to give their life to Christ as well.
You're listening to Tim Todd here on Exploring the Word. He's our guest today because this is National Truth for Youth Bible Week, where you can call 800-733-4737. That's 800-733-4737. And you can order a Bible on behalf of your son or daughter or teens that can give one away in the public school. And it's free. And if you want to do more, your youth group, your Sunday school class, your group wants to share 50 or more of these, you can order them in a group, $2 each. What a opportunity that is. And again, or you can go online at truthforyouth.com and order online at any time. Now, if you're going to call, you need to do this before 4:30 this afternoon, Central Time. And Tim, we hadn't got a lot of time, but it's exciting that it's available in Spanish as well, because we do have a large Spanish-speaking population here in America.
Yes, we do, and we're so thankful we've been able to get Bibles into Cuba. We've been able to get the Spanish Bibles into Mexico, into the hands of young people here in America that speak Spanish, and we're so thankful for that. And we're thankful for the expansion, because we want to preach the whole gospel to the whole world before Jesus comes, and getting a copy of the Word of God into the hands of these young people is vitally important.
And we have an opportunity to stand with Revival Fires International. That's Tim, Todd, and the ministry they have in here. And we want you to call that number. Let me give it as we go into the next session right after this. 800-733-4737. Thank you, Tim.
It's Truth for Youth Week. Help us get the Word of God into the hands of teens across the nation. Our goal is to give away 60,000 Bibles this school year.
One day she came up to me and said that Tim Todd was challenging young people to give away Truth for Youth Bibles in school.
In the midst of division, a revival is coming through the youth of our nation.
I was one of the most prominent drug dealers in my school.
Revival Fires International is giving one free Truth for Youth Bible to every student between the ages of 13 and 18 who promises to pass it along to a friend this school year. And parents can order on behalf of students. Visit truthforyouth.com or call 800-733-4737. That's 800-733-4737.
Now I'm one of the most prominent Truth for Youth Bible Givers.
Help spread God's Word with the Truth for Youth Bible and AFR.
I went to the decision page and gave my heart to Jesus.
If you have manners, you'll say thanks when someone does you a favor. But Dr. Tony Evans says if you have faith, you should say it a lot sooner. He'll explain today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Let me ask you a question. If your health is falling apart, you're probably going to go to the doctor because you think the doctor can help you get it back together again. If your car is making all kind of noise, it means you need a mechanic. What do you do when your world is falling apart? When your nation is in trouble? You've hit a crisis so big that you have nowhere to go. When all human options have disappeared on you. We've had a lot of problems that we need solutions for, but that starts with going Godward. Time to get your praise on. Praise is accentuating and expressing value to God. You can worship privately without saying a word. You can worship, but you can't do that with praise. Praise is worship gone public. Praise is declaring your stand. That's what the psalmist meant in Psalm 34 when he said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt and extol his name together." When you magnify God, you can't make God bigger, but a magnifying glass doesn't make something bigger. It just shows you in a bigger way what's really there. Get your praise on even though your problem's not so. Praise God that he's bigger than Corona. Praise God that he's bigger than your private coronas. Praise him that he's greater than whatever the greatest challenge is in your life.
Learn to develop a deeper trust in God's preserving power. Check out Tony's CD series, Clarity in a Crisis, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 minutes with Tony.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
I know the answer to every question, the one solution to every fear. I know my help and where it comes from. Jesus, he is the answer.
Oh, Jesus is the answer. He really, really is. And we want to talk about Christ and his word on this edition of Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here with Bert Harper. You're listening to the American Family Radio Network. And I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 11. We're going to pick up around about verse 25. But Bert, when I hear Tim Todd every year, and I see his name throughout the year and run into him maybe at a convention or something, my heart is thrilled to know that young people are getting that eternal Word of God. Headlines come and go, culture changes, the Word of God stands forever. Amen. And I'm excited that we're helping young people find Jesus and his Word.
Amen. You shared and started off the program with that verse about how shall a man, young man cleanse his ways, but taking heed thereto to the Word of God. Alex, the Bible says that the Word is settled in heaven. The Bible says sanctify them or set them apart, you set them apart by the Word of God. It's the only way. Sanctify them through thy truth. Your Word, O God, is truth. So that's why in Matthew chapter 11, we come to the place where Jesus was being rejected by people that should have said, yes, we'll follow you. I find I know you said 25, but I want to go back to 20 just for a moment, where it says that Jesus, began to upbraid or reproach the cities there where the most mighty works were done. And if you were to get a map out and in the back of your Bible, and you find Capernaum, Chorazin, and Bethesda, you would find out there are a triad, there are three cities or three towns right at the top of the Sea of Galilee, right there where Jesus did most of his ministry there when he was in Galilee, where many of the apostles were from. And here's what he says, "Woe to you, O Chorazin, woe to you, Bethesda, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." Now, Alex, you can read the rest. But that just gets me. I mean, here Jesus is saying, if they could have seen all that you have seen, they would have repented. And he's saying, you would not. And he gives them a warning. Because you haven't, it's going to be worse on you in the day of judgment than it was on Sodom and Gomorrah.
Well, you know, it was my privilege this morning. I was talking to Erwin Lutzer, and we were just talking about America. And, you know, how blessed we've been to have great Christian leaders, a great Christian heritage, great Christian radio, television, books, I mean, a church on most every corner. And we have a lot of responsibility, because if ever there was a gospel-saturated culture, it was America. And Bert, let me put this Matthew 11, 20 through 24 in kind of more relatable terms. If South America, Zambia, Africa, China, if they had a fraction of the gospel exposure that America has had, they would have repented en masse. They're so hungry for Jesus. But here in America, we've had so much gospel, it's almost like we've become desensitized to it. So with the blessing of God revealing himself comes the responsibility and accountability of having to respond. Am I right?
You are correct. Now, I'll say this. The reason in the past America has been so strong, yes, we believe the word, but we have been missional. We have sent more missionaries than any country in the history. Even today, missionaries that are supported by churches here in America are sharing the gospel in some hard, difficult places, Alex, that their lives are endangered. Many times they go to these places, and I praise the Lord for that. But yet here in America, that line of, and we're going to get to it in chapter 12, where it says, a house divided will not stand, because they were trying to, you know, Jesus was telling them, yes, he was doing those miracles, and the Pharisees was saying, no, it's through the power of Beelzebub. And Jesus was saying, man, that's divided. It would not stand. And so America, it looks like there is a division here. There's obviously, and Alex, I'll be very real to you. I don't see how in the world, you know, they say compromise is the art of politics. There's some issues that where the left stands and where those of us who are Bible believers stand, there's no way for that to work. You just can't compromise on killing babies. You don't compromise on what marriage is. You don't compromise on lawlessness that's taken place. So we are in dangerous times, but what a time to share the Word of God and give hope in the midst of the difficulty.
You know, it was my privilege last week to teach the book of Revelation at the Cove. And, you know, I mentioned it on the radio that I was teaching through the book of Revelation. And I actually got some emails and stuff from some listeners. And for one thing, let me say, if you're listening to Exploring the Word right now and you're not a believer yet, and maybe you think that, you know, Bert and I are a little bit radical. You know, we talk about Jesus and we talk about sin as if it's a real issue, because it is. You know, so if you're not a Christian and you're listening, we're glad of that, because hey, there was a day, Bert, when I wasn't yet a Christian, but I heard about Jesus and God mercifully, you know, pursued me. But here's the thing. Several people emailed me and they said, well, you know, you're talking about, you know, anarchy and lawlessness and Christ is coming back and you've got to get saved and get right. But that's just your opinion. Other people don't believe Scripture says that. But Bert, isn't it important to point out that when it comes to the rock-solid truth of Christ and the empty tomb and heaven and hell and you must be born again, look, that's not Alex's opinion or Bert's opinion. I mean, that's true reality.
Yeah, it is.
Now, I believe it. Of course I believe it. With the core of my soul, I believe it.
But if you didn't believe it, it would still be true, Alex.
That's amen.
The truth is the Word of God. It stands forever. We're talking about history. We're not just talking about pie in the sky. We're not talking about Bert and Alex, you know, dreaming about it, hoping
opinion.
It is. It's been proven that the Word of God is powerful and quick over and over and over again. I remember this, and I'll give it to you, hand it back to you. I had a math teacher say this. He was my teacher back in junior high and high school. His name was Homer Guy. He went to be of the Lord, but he died as a Christian. His brother was a seminary professor out at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary for years and years. And but he said, you know, I love math. He said, 2 + 2 = 2. But he said, I've never found anybody to discover a math book and start looking and say, this is changing my life. But he said, I've seen it over and over again. Someone start reading the Bible and find the truth of it in their lives. It will be changed.
Amen.
Alex, it's proof and it is true. And that's the reason we declare it. And Alex, we've continued to do so in the midst of difficulty, don't we?
We do. We do. And, you know, you read through verse 24 and Jesus says, I tell you, it would be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for thee. He's saying, look, with the privilege of revelation comes the obligation of responsibility and response. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now, very famous Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Before we get to that about come all ye who labor, let me just say this. The wise and the prudent. Bert, I believe in learning. I love learning and reading and education. But it's not IQ points that gets you into heaven. It's not being skillful or wealthy or powerful, although educated, wealthy people can get saved. Uneducated, poor people can get saved. The secret key to eternal life is to recognize Jesus as the Son of God and that we're sinners, all of us are, but we turn to Christ, we say, Lord, I believe on the cross you paid my sin, and I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm trusting you alone. Lord, please save my soul. And he will do that. And I read these 25 through 27, Bert. It's not about, you know, cracking the code or being wise or smart. It's about acknowledging Christ the Savior, isn't it?
It is. Notice the words. You find this word. Again, it's repeated in verse 25, and have revealed them to babes. And then look at verse 27. It says, and he to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Revelation. Now, Alex, observation brings you to the place where I believe with all my heart, you know there's God. Now, that is true. People are denying what they see when they don't see that design has a designer. People are denying what they feel when they have a conscience and they do not respond and they harden that conscience. That's observation. But from that observation, you come to the place where there's a God. God's revelation takes over. But if someone who's observed these things and they do not respond in observation, there is a God, that revelation may not come any further. But through that observation, revelation comes through the Word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through testimony, and that revelation will bring you to the place. And know the action words here in verse 28 and 29. Come, take, learn. And let me share with you what you just said, and I want to make this, and I'll throw it back to you. They're trying to learn some things before they come and take. That's the reason that's not working. In other words, you can know all this. You can even know the Bible. You can even memorize the Bible. Satan did that with Jesus in the temptations, you know. But you can learn of all that, but until you come to him and take him, that learning will not be as complete. It will just be knowledge without the reality of Christ, Alex.
Wow. That is so powerful, brother. You know, he says, take my yoke upon you. We put ourselves under a lot of yokes, don't we?
We do.
And maybe even somebody listening, right, you're under a yoke of you know, self-condemnation. You're beating yourself up for something that happened years ago, or you're under a yoke of maybe you've been abused physically, emotionally, verbally, or whatever. Look, today you can put off the yoke of a hurting life, sin, feelings of guilt, condemnation, hopelessness, not feeling like your life has no purpose. Take on the yoke of Jesus. Now, I'm sure you've seen images of oxen that are plowing, and they've got a beam across their back, and it keeps them in the way, pulling the plow. Here's the thing. The yoke of Jesus, and this is a real irony, because you think of a yoke on a farm animal as a heavy, burdensome labor. But here's Jesus' yoke. He's going to forgive all your sins. He's going to give you a clear conscience. He's going to put peace in your soul. You can have confidence and know that whenever you leave this world, you're ready to meet the Lord. As long as you're in this world, He'll be with you. And you can pray, and He'll guide you and provide for you. And He will increase your mind, your intellect. As you get into God's Word, not only will your heart be comforted, your mind will grow as you learn God's Word. Bert, the yoke that Jesus is offering, eternal life and blessing down here, hey, that's one I'd be willing to get Amen. My arms around.
Amen. Now, let me share about this yoke. I had an individual to give me a yoke, and it wasn't one for oxen, but I learned some things from it, and I decided I'd do some research on the yoke.
Like a livestock thing?
Yeah, but it's fitted to each individual animal. In other words, goats has a certain kind of a yoke, and goats can be used for that. Even horses that you yoke together, they have certain kinds of oxen, and each one of them is fitted accordingly to the animal and to that animal's size. In other words, there can be yokes that are too big for certain animals and yokes that are too small for each other animals. But the yoke that God puts on you, and this is it, He says, take my yoke. And this yoke is fitted specifically for you. If you'll come to Christ and then you take that yoke and you start serving, that is when you start learning more. The yoke has to do with service, Alex. The yoke was to do that. It was a service animal. And in our service, everybody, we have people call in all the time, I want to get closer to the Lord. We tell them, yes, stay in the Word, have accountability. But I always add, get into serving the Lord. Serve the Lord somewhere with individuals, with people for ministry. And God reveals more and more about Him. In other words, coming and taking are kind of like events, but learning is a lifelong process, brother.
Well said. That is interesting. That's interesting. Sometime when I am in town, I want to come and see that yoke. That's a great word picture. But He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, there's a lot about the Christian life that is going to require sacrifice and obedience, and sometimes real levels of commitment. But you know what? When God is with you and God is carrying you, the word easy there in the English translation, I'm not saying the Christian life isn't without some struggle and investment, but God gives you the strength. And the more you sacrifice for Him, the stronger you get.
Yeah, He didn't say the journey's easy. He said my yoke. He knows how to fit it to you. And the burden, He takes care of that as well. Well, we're going to take phone calls. Let me give that number. 888-589-8840. Give us a call.
Hello, I'm Franklin Graham. Right now, our country is in trouble, and people are scared, people are afraid, and we see the violence and the injustices that are taking place. Only God can change this. This is a problem of the human heart.
If you'd like to pray with someone, call us any time of the day or night at 888-388-2683. 888-388-2683.
Call that number right now. We've got someone who will pray with you, talk with you, encourage you. God bless.
Why does life exist? Life is undeniably designed.
Christian apologist, Dr. Frank Turek.
If space, matter, and time had a beginning, what caused that? What's the atheist explanation for that? You just can't say, well, I lack a belief.
Join Dr. Turek as he cross-examines skeptical and atheistic viewpoints. Saturday mornings at 9 Central and Sunday afternoons at 4 Central on American Family Radio.
Peter said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. At the climax of the account, when Jesus restored Peter's personal relationship with him and Peter's call to ministry, he saw John following them. Jesus had just predicted that Peter would give his life for the gospel when Peter said, what about John, Lord? Jesus responded, what does he have to do with your calling? You follow me. With those words, Jesus hit a consistent flaw of the human condition. We derive value and self-worth by comparing ourselves to other people. Your ups, your downs, your failures, your victories were never meant to be compared to other people. We have been called to serve an audience of one. The only approval you need is His.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of
heaven and earth. A creed, a concise formulation of belief and a rich tradition found throughout the Bible.
An ancient Israelite creed was the Shema of Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might.
Early Christians formed creeds about Jesus. One is 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 7, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. An early understanding of Jesus' life.
A creed isn't meant to replace the Bible, but to give focus to the beliefs found in the Bible.
The resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Amen.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bertie and Alex, we're taking your phone calls. And again, that number, and we've got line or two open, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. We'll get to as many calls as we can. But let me remind you what this week is on AFR, National Truth for Youth Bible Week, where if you call in or you can go to truthforyouth.com and order a Bible for your son or daughter, teenager, to give away at school, then do that and help the gospel be carried out. Again, truthforyouth.com and one free Truth for Youth Bible for every student ages 13 to 18 who promised to give it away at school this year. So do that right away. Well, Alex, we got people online. Let's go to the phone lines and go to Ohio and talk to Wayne. Wayne, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Bert and Alex, how you doing today?
Fantastic, brother. How about you?
I'm doing phenomenal.
Well, amen.
Hey, good to hear from you.
Amen. Hey, I got a question. Ephesians 6 about the armor of God. There's 9 of them, right? And can the armor of God work if one of them's missing? That's my question. God bless you guys and keep on moving.
Will they work? Well, If it's like a soldier, it just weakens you for sure, if it's the truth of it. But Alex, is there some of the armor possibility more necessary for the battle than others?
Well, you know what I think about this? I think about, I've read about trains. I'm interested in trains, you know. And let's say a locomotive can pull a certain amount of weight, and sometimes they'll link up two engines together. And it's not double the amount, but it's well more than triple. And sometimes on these really huge trains, they might have two or three locomotives. And when you've got more than one locomotive, the pulling power is just multiplied many times over. I think about this in Ephesians 6, you know, really 10 through 20. And I'm reading here, and yeah, there are 9, depending how you count, but, you know, Your loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, quenching the fiery darts of the devil, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, prayer and supplication, perseverance and supplication. I'm just going to say this, and Bert, you feel free to disagree. I think it's possible to be living your Christian life, and maybe you're strong in some areas and not strong in others, and maybe for a while you forget to pray, and you're not praying like you should. You're still a Christian. You still can be used by God. But if you've got all these bases covered and the Lord is helping you daily walk in the Spirit, in the armor of God, I really think your stance and your impact is multiplied many times over.
I agree fully. Let me make two observations. We'll go to the next caller. Notice how it starts off with the belt of truth. Thy word is truth. Notice what it ends with is the word of God. Everything is connected. Everything is between. They're the bookends, Alex. The truth of the word of God. And all the righteousness comes, the faith comes, and it comes. If salvation is through that truth of the word of God. I know that for sure. And Satan does not know everything, but he is a keen observer, he and his demons. And when he catches, and I've always heard this, a weakness in your armor, that's where he attacks. And so you want the whole armor, as you said, and you'd be much more effective. Wayne, great questions. We hope we've given it to you as accurate as we can. We do it, say, you don't want to miss any of the armor. You want it all on. And thank you, brother. Let's go to North Carolina and talk to Susie. Susie, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi. I had a comment about the yoke. I once heard a Bible teacher use as an example an unequal yoke. In some parts of the world, they actually use a yoke that has an animal on one side and the person on the other. And, of course, the person does not pull as much weight as the animal. And that this unequal yoke with Jesus pulling the heaviest weight, and we are with him, so his yoke is easy.
Okay. Wow. Alex, have you heard that?
I've not heard that, but I could see, you know, what they're saying, and that's true. You know, He pulls the majority of the weight, and in fact, I think, truth be told, he really carries us along, doesn't he?
Have you ever seen the bumper sticker, God is my co-pilot? You know, that's what, when Susie was saying that, well, he needs to be our pilot completely.
Amen.
And, the yoke, again, is for service. Just remember that, everything you do. There's no need of the animal having a yoke on them unless they're serving. Alex, that's we're
true.
Saved. Yes, he loves us, but we are left here to serve him. And the whole idea that I couldn't help but also go back, and I know I'm taking more time, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, you know?
Yeah, that's that 2 Corinthians 6:14.
So there is a team there. The yoke is those two when you're yoked together with him. He is the one. Thank you so much, Susie. Well, let's go to Indiana and talk to Mark. Mark, welcome.
Hi, Bert, Alex.
Yes, sir, brother.
Hello, hello.
Talk today.
Man, thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, glad you're here.
Good. Hey, guys, I just was so enjoying your talk today about the yoke and the oxen. And I thought I'd call in. I have a yoke of oxen, and I take them around and train with them and teach with them. And I just wanted to share just a couple things maybe you guys didn't know in regards to this lesson that Jesus was teaching in Matthew 12. In a yoke of oxen, you always have a lead ox and a far ox. And your lead ox is the most trained. It's the one that, if you have a far ox that would be a wild animal, you could put him in the yoke with a lead ox, and he would take and train and break him in the yoke. History talks about that, and you can do that, and they've done that through history. And so Jesus is the lead ox in this relationship. God the Father is the drover, the teamster, that leads. He's the one who directs this yoke. And you remember Jesus said he only does that which the Father commands him? And we get the opportunity, the invitation, to step into the far ox position, into that far ox yoke position, and let the lead ox lead our life. And another thing I found real interesting is I've read commentaries and listened to different Bible teachers on this subject. Sometimes they'll put a lot of emphasis on the yoke. And I think it's real interesting because in the ox droving world, you go to an ox event where there's maybe, you know, 30, 40 pairs of oxen. The conversation isn't about the yoke. The yoke isn't what people talk about. They talk about the lead ox. The interest is always on the quality of the lead ox. And in the yoke together, as far as the pair together. And I think then that Jesus was teaching us then when he talks about taking the yoke. It's so interesting, Bert, how you're saying it was for service. But in the ox world, we realize that it constrains the far ox, because without taking much time, the lead ox is the more intelligent of the two. He's the leader. He's the dominant, you might say. And like I said earlier, you can put a wild ox in your far ox position, and that yoke will constrain him. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's beautiful.
Isn't that great? Mark, thank you, brother. I don't want to, man, you've already given us more than we can consume all that. That was awesome. You have the ox themselves and the yoke, and you take them around demonstrating those?
I do, yeah. God opened that door up, brothers, 2 years ago. I didn't see it coming, and it's become really a ministry.
Well, what part of Indiana are you in, Mark?
Central Indiana, just out of Lafayette.
Okay, well, I've been to Kokomo. The next time I come up that way, I'm going to try to get this phone number down. I want to see that. That is not very common in our day, Alex.
Exactly.
You know that, right?
And, sir, I have learned so much. I'm just sitting here, you know, watching in my mind, imagining these things. I would love to see that, too. Maybe it would be a blessing if we could get up your way and do some ministry and see those ox. But it's a good picture. And, Bert, you know how Jesus talked about lambs following the shepherd and, you know, a mother hen gathering her chicks, if those chicks would heed her call, and then, of course, the yoke of Christ. He gave word pictures that people in that day, of course, could instantly understand, but really people in every era still can relate to this, can't we?
They can. And the whole idea is teaming up with Jesus. Don't miss Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, a good way to put it.
Amen. Let's go to Texas. And is it Joshua or Joshi? What? Josh, are you there? Josh. Joshua. Or is it Josiah? I'm trying to figure out. Joshua, go ahead. Well, he's not answering. Don't hang up on him. Let's go to Chris in Texas and come back to Joshua. Chris, welcome.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say that I appreciate listening to y'all all the time. I work corrections, so a lot of times late at night when I'm in the patrol car, I get to listen to y'all too, so y'all kind of sharpen me a lot.
Well, thank you for listening.
No problem, Alex.
Well, let me ask you this. I got a patrol car. Policeman, sheriff's department, who with? Chris?
I work for the state and corrections.
Amen. Well, brother,
we want to say thank you.
We do. We say thank you. We want to say thank you for serving and doing that and pray for your safety as well. But go ahead, Chris.
I kind of want to get on the ox question, but from a different angle. I enjoy the New Testament, but a lot of times the Old Testament kind of sticks with me a little bit better. It's a little bit easier for me to relate sometimes. But studying the laws, and I understand we're not under the laws anymore, but there was a situation if somebody was killed in a village or a city, that they would sacrifice an ox. I believe it was an ox. And they would wash their hands over this ox, saying basically, this blood is not on my hands of this person. If he was found in a field containing that city. My question is, is this law prophetic between Christ and what
Pilate?
Gosh, man, I can't even think.
Pilate. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Is it prophetic? I know, Alex, in Pilate's day, it wasn't just from the law. It was kind of a custom. Was it a Jewish custom or a Roman custom? Have you ever studied that about washing your hands?
Yeah, you know, Ezekiel talks about it, too, that, you know, his blood I will require at your hand. The point is accountability, whether it's Isaiah 59:3, God told Israel, your hands are stained with blood. The idea of washing your hands of something means that you've been absolved of responsibility. You know, I have done my part. It's like this being a witness. Let's say you know somebody that's lost and you go talk to them about Christ and you try to talk to them about their soul. Maybe they'll accept it, but even if they reject, you have done your part. Your hands are clean of this matter. And so that's one of the beautiful things about the atonement of Jesus, that the sins that we were, you know, sins of commission and sins of omission, things we were overtly guilty for, and then things that we should have done but we didn't do, in Christ we really are completely not only forgiven, absolved, but actually made righteous.
Amen. Again, Chris, thank you for your service. We're going to try to get one more call in. We're going to stay in Texas and go to Bobby. Bobby, welcome. You hadn't got a lot of time. Go right ahead.
Oh, I'll make it quick. Thank you, Bert. Thank you, Alex. Love y'all.
Hey, God bless you.
Yes, you're going to find this one a little off the wall, too. We know the Lord is sovereign. We know that he has the death angel, because he sent the death angel over Pharaoh for Pharaoh's pronouncing what he did. But in the book of Job, Satan has the prince of air and through the tornado killed all of Job's family. Does Satan have some type of demonic thing with death? And does how it correlate those two for me, please?
Okay. Let me just say one statement. Alex, you take it away. Satan is a limited foe. That's the first thing you got to remember. And he can only operate within the realm that God's given him permission to operate. Alex, go ahead.
Well, we know that Satan can kill. John 10:10 tells us he can steal, kill, and destroy. Let me say, whatever Satan's powers are, they are limited, and he is restrained by God. I mean, we look in Job how God says, you know, you can oppress Job, but you cannot kill him. So here's one thing. Satan is powerful. I don't think we have to be obsessively paranoid and afraid of Satan if we're in Christ. And we need to know that, you know, Satan does anything he does by permission. He can't go beyond the boundary lines that God sets to box him in. Now, I will say this, for instance, our very own nation, the farther we've deviated from God and his word and the farther we've drifted away from God, Satan apparently has more power and influence in our culture than he used to have, doesn't he?
I agree with that fully. By the way, I was reminded when I was telling that story about my math teacher, my math wasn't very good. 2 + 2 is not 2, it's 4. So, Alex, I'm glad I switched from math to Bible, brother.
Yeah, me too. You know, there's 3 kind of people in the world, those that can do math and those that can't. And I'm one that's not very good at math.
We've enjoyed it. Remember, Truth for Youth Week, that number, call if you need a Bible, 800-733-4737, or go online, truthforyouth.com. Order that Bible today. We'll be with it again tomorrow, Alex, with Fireway Friday. You going to be ready?
I'll be ready, folks. Thanks for listening, and God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or AMA Association or AMA.